You're listening to Nick Luck Daily, bringing you the latest news and the best interviews from around the world of horse racing. Brought to you in association with Fitzdares, the world's finest bookmaker, the Racehorse Owners Association, and Thoroughbred Racing Commentary. To celebrate the launch of Nick Luck Daily, Fitzdares have a special sign-up offer that will double your winnings on your first bet up to a £50 stake. Just go to www.fitzdares.com/luck to sign up. Hi there, welcome to the show, and here goes for day one of the Qatar Glorious Goodwood Festival. It's Tuesday, July the 28th, and it's first light here in southwest London. The good news is that the weather looks like it's taking a turn for the better, and it's brightening up a treat. And today's show is full of optimism as we look ahead to Stradivarius versus Santiago in a terrific Goodwood Cup. While in the company of his stud director Simon Sweeting, we remember the spellbinding win of 21 years ago in the same race of Kaif Tara, who retired from stallion duties yesterday. We'll be talking about some of the likely key players in the biggest races this week, from Batash to Siskin and Cameco to Fancy Blue and Nazif. And I'll be talking to a future star who rode her first winner last night and is sure to be here herself before too long. But down to business. You'll hear from Goodwood Clark Ed Arkle in just a few moments, but first I'm joined by Cornelius Lysett. Cornelius, with barely a Panama hat or a floaty dress in sight for the first 4 days at least, will Goodwood still be glorious?
Well, funny enough, I was writing a preview earlier on, and I wrote, I think this is as glorious a Qatar Goodwood Festival as there's been or as you can have. And then I thought, well, hold on a second, can't really say that without the crowds. So it is just, the racing is unquestionably glorious. The weather is going to be glorious, I think, once the fixture gets into its stride. And the enormous pity, as with Enables Day at Ascot last week, as with the Derby, as with other major events, is that there aren't going to be crowds there to really appreciate it. But, you know, that is one of the problems of the time, isn't it? And what racing has done and what racing enthusiasts have done very successfully since the resumption at the beginning of June is to make the best of what they got. And clearly there's a step forward from what we have at the moment on Saturday with crowds going in to Goodwood on as part of this big experiment. And I think the other thing that definitely is, we don't know about Goodwood at this stage, but other fixtures, I gather, the owner's experience, which is really important, has been gradually improving. I think there is still room for improvement, but it has been gradually improving. And that's clearly important. But everything is moving in the right direction. There are still arguments about this, that, and the other that we know all about. They have got to be resolved before too long. But basically, here we are at the start of Glorious Goodwood, which will remain glorious in terms of racing, but not quite so good in terms of crowds.
It's an extraordinary place, a wonderful place to be at, I'm sure an even better place to work at. The man who has the pleasure of preparing the surface for the horses, and it's a challenge as well, is Clark of the Course, Ed Arkle. I spoke with him very late last night, and I began by asking him what the mood had been around the place leading up to an unusual Qatar Goodwood Festival.
Yeah, I think we've all been really pleased to actually get something up and running again, Nick. Obviously, the motorsport events we lost through COVID, so to actually get one of the estate big events up and running has been great, and I think everybody's been very excited about that.
And how have your responsibilities been different from any normal year?
I think, to be honest, not that much different, really. Obviously, in lockdown, we were just operating with a skeleton team, and it was more a case of just keeping everything going rather than actually getting ready for racing. The grounds team will say I hindered them plenty by going out on a mower and a strimmer and probably making double the work when I knackered the job up somehow.
We've had quite a bit of rain over the weekend and again today. How do you think that will impact the racing surface this week?
Yeah, we had 12 mil over the weekend, and then we've had another 2.5 mil in the last 24 hours. I've called it good to soft in places, so we'll see what happens overnight. There's no more rain forecast. It's very windy here at the moment. And then the forecast for the rest of the week is sunny, dry, and becoming increasingly warm as the week progresses. So it's bound to tighten up, you know, through the week. And hopefully, from where we're starting, it will mean that we don't have to do any watering during the week. We might do it at the very end of the week, but hopefully not.
How excited might be the wrong word, but how pleased are you that you can get at least a semblance of a crowd on Saturday? And how anxious are you, given the fact that you are the trialists for this?
We're obviously thrilled to be able to have a crowd. I think it'll be great for racing. You know, if we can prove that this works and works safely and successfully, then it's a huge step on the way forward for crowds coming back to racing as a whole. And obviously that's great for punters and the race goers, and good for the industry as a whole.
What are you looking forward to as a particular highlight this week? This afternoon, we've clearly got the Goodwood Cup, and then Sussex Stakes tomorrow, Nassau Stakes later in the week.
I think it'll obviously be fantastic to see Stradivarius, and fingers crossed he wins his fourth Goodwood Cup. The Sussex Stakes looks amazingly strong. I think probably my favourite race of the week, and it always is actually the Nassau. I think there's some really interesting stories. It would be great to see Deirdre come back and win for a second year, but it's certainly not a dropkick. You know, she's got a lot of strong competition. And then obviously Beth Ash on Friday, also trying to make it four. And I just think it's extraordinary that you know, these races are hot races and they're fiercely competitive. And to have two horses coming back trying to win four-timers in a Group 1 or Group 2 race is extraordinary, especially in the same year.
Ed, thanks for your time.
Thanks.
Goodwood Clerk of the Course, Ed Arkell there. And Cornelius, I think the key takeaway there is the ground isn't going to be too soft this afternoon, and it's only going to get quicker as the week goes on.
Absolutely. And in terms of the big talking point of the day is clearly the Goodwood Cup. And if conditions became very soft, then that would raise certain queries around Stradivarius. But he's such a champion. Personally, I think he will do it okay, and he'll win this record-breaking fourth Goodwood Cup. And conditions underfoot won't be inconveniencing him. The main negative against his name is the difference in weight with Santiago. As we're still in July, it's a stone and a pound, so 999 as opposed to 88. If you think of that in terms of bags of sugar, that's quite a lot of extra weight on his back. But he looks so imperious, I thought, at Royal Ascot, that he looks to be at his best. And you know, I think the other thing is Santiago's something of a unknown quantity. He won the Queen's Vase, didn't he? Just like Stradivarius did at Royal Ascot. But that Irish Derby, you know, there have to be eyebrow raising. You know, you have to raise an eyebrow a bit about the form, I would imagine. I've got nothing against Santiago, nothing against the others, but I hope Stradivarius does it. And I think he'll do it. And of course, the cherry on the top of the cake in terms of his prospects are that his jockey and his trainer are in such magnificent form at the moment as well.
He'll be going some to win quite as easily as a horse 21 years ago in this self-same race. That horse, Caif Tara, who had also won a Gold Cup, but he bolted up at Goodwood. And subsequently, he has left an even greater legacy as a sire of quite brilliant National Hunt horses, Thistle Crack and Special Tiara being two of the best. He was retired from stud duties yesterday, the very same day that a filly by Caif Tara, a homebred, made 130,000 sold to Magzo Tool at the new Goth summer sale at Doncaster. And I spoke to the man who's looked after Caif Tara through his stallion career, Overbury stud Simon Sweeting, and asked him what this extraordinary horse had meant to him and the people around him.
To me personally, he's the foundation of my business. I came here to Overbury with him 20 years ago, and I say he's been the foundation. He's the foundation of probably the first three or four stories. He has kept us going through thick and thin for 20 years. He's paid for a lot of errors. He's, on my part, he's kept us going when times have been a bit difficult, and he's the reason why the business is still going. So he's pretty important to me.
When he first came to you, when you first agreed to stand him, what expectations did you have of him, realistically?
Completely naively, I had none. I thought it was a new adventure. very exciting. He was obviously a wonderful horse. He was a champion twice, the best there that had been around for some years, very well known. And it was a new adventure, and I didn't really know what to expect. If I'd known how tough this business was, I probably never would have taken it on. I never would have thought that we could have achieved, or he could have achieved what he has, because it really has been exceptional. And yes, we've been hugely lucky that he has done as well as he has, and that he's been given the support by breeders that he has to help him along the way.
How many times has he been leading British-based National Hunt Stallion?
10 so far, and the results for this next one are in the air. They've been decided, and I don't know yet, but it could well be 11. And that's a testament to what he's been able to do.
And still quite a bit to look forward to as well as regards his progeny. He's had so many great days as the sire of so many fabulous horses. Is there one for you that really stands above all else?
Yes, Thistle Crack's World Hurdle that really did raise the hairs on the back of my neck. It was an extraordinary performance that day. I think, like a lot of people, I was left a little bit slack-jawed by the way he won that race. When he started jumping as well, he was hugely exciting. And his King George was an exceptional race to watch as well. Special Tiara's Queen Mother Champion Chase was very, very exciting for me. It was a tremendous race to win. He only just got home, but he did it. And that, you know, to me is one of the great races, the 2 mile chases. I absolutely love it. And for him to be able to have as fast a horse as that was very, very special to me too.
I think it's fair to say it still took people a little while, even after he was upgrading moderate mares year after year after year, to figure out that buying one was a good idea. They're going to certainly be scrambling to get their hands on any kind of Cave Tara from now on in.
Yes, he has sold well for the last 5 or 6 years. Mm. It did take a while. Luckily, the British breeders were able to get him relatively inexpensively to start with, and the people that were faithful to him did very well and will continue to do very well. But he has been an extraordinary sales horse. He deserves to be because of what he's achieved on the racecourse, but it has been phenomenal. Some of the trades that have been made and off inexpensive nominations that the breeders have paid. So it's a great thing, and everybody has benefited.
Well, I really hope that he can enjoy a few years of just chilling out and being appreciated. Simon, he's been a fabulous horse, and you've put so much hard work into him, and he's repaid you in spades. Thanks so much for talking to us.
It's a pleasure, Nick. Thank you.
Well, that extraordinary stud career, Cornelius, we almost forget what a seriously good racehorse Cave Tara was as well.
You took the thoughts out of my mind. Absolutely. His reputation now is this great daddy, if you like, based at Overbury Stud, which is a little bit of heaven. It's not very far from Cheltenham Racecourse, tucked off the road between Cheltenham and Evesham. It's absolutely beautiful around there, sort of in the foothills of the Malverns as well, and he's really thrived there. But, you know, going back to the end of the last century, very beginning of this century, one's got to remember 2 Gold Cup successes, and he beat his opponents, I think Double Trigger in 98, and Martin Pike trained horse Far Cry in 2000 by a matter of inches. They were real thrillers. And that Irish St. Ledger is one that always lives in my mind from, I suppose, it must be 1998, when he beat Silver Patriarch on that occasion. But the Goodwood Cup success, remember Jay McGrath describing it on television. I think it was that typical Australianism that he brought so wonderfully into British commentary. Putting in giant strides was Cave Tara down the outside. And he led an awful long way from home. He must have led 2.5 furlongs, over 1/4 mile from home. But he easily disposed of his opponents. So, yeah, sad news that he's retiring. But he's 26. He has stamped his mark on the staying races on the flat and on national hunt circles in the national hunt industry as a stallion as well. What a terrific horse.
We've mentioned Stradivarius, one of the most popular stayers of the modern era. Which other horses will leave their mark on Goodwood this week, do you think?
Well, the Sussex Stakes is truly spectacular, isn't it? Everyone seems to have a view, and most of the views. I was listening to Dave Yates on your podcast yesterday. He was absolutely right to narrow it down, I think, to Mahatha, for Marcus Tregoning, and there would be huge pleasure if Marcus Tregoning was to get back in the big time with this horse, with whom he and Sheikh Hamdan have been so patient. So really looking forward to Mahatha against Siskin. And I think there'd be real pleasure around Siskin producing a big win in the UK for Ger Lyons and his team, and a very successful association now with Judmont Farms, Colin Keane, the jockey on board that one. So, very much looking forward to that, obviously. Then on Friday, Battash. I cannot see that Battash can possibly be beaten unless something goes wrong, or he goes and throws in a bad one for whatever reason. So looking forward to seeing him in action, and looking forward to knowing that in this sort of heady cocktail on the downs of top-class racing and practically impossible handicaps, that I shall constantly be looking down the column of trainers to see what Mark Johnson's got, how many he's got in these various handicaps, not necessarily say, oh, that one's 6-1 and that one's 25-1, so that can't possibly win, because I think punters seem to get, in the betting industry, seems to get Mark Johnston horses wrong in handicaps when there's more than one runner a lot at Goodwood. Looking forward to seeing Michael Stout with plenty of horses during the week as well. Richard Hannon Jr., he's not been training that long, so he hasn't trained that many. His actual total for number of winners at Goodwood so far is not that high, but he's churned them out pretty quickly, and his horses are running in spectacular style at the moment. So, yeah, massive to look forward to, and Frankie Dettori, leading, winning most Goodwood jockey, he'll be there or thereabouts throughout the week, no doubt. So, 5 days with plenty of goodies, and a fascinating day on Saturday with the Stewards Cup, and with Goodwood and its officials having to, and racing having to be on its best behaviour to make certain that the whole crowd experiment goes well.
Guarantee that this time next year, Safi Osborne will be riding at Glorious Goodwood. She rode her first winner at Windsor last night on Hot Scoop, trained by her father, Jamie. She is without doubt a star of the future. When they got home to Lambourne last night, I was able to catch up with them both. And I began by suggesting to Safi that there aren't too many young riders who've ridden their first winner against fully fledged professionals on a two-year-old.
Thank you very much. Nick, he's a great ride anyway, so he didn't really feel like a two-year-old, but I suppose it does. Thank you.
And Jamie, I know you've been saying for quite some time you thought Safi had what it took, but how anxious or nervous have you been?
I didn't think I said that. anxious.
Yeah, how anxious have you been the last few weeks?
Not at all. I mean, initially I felt like I was sort of, you know, sending my child into the trenches, and questioned whether or not how responsible I was being. But this whole thing has in no way been driven by me. The child has completely driven herself. Most little girls, once they get beyond ponies, have other things in mind. Thankfully, mine rather sort of, you know, loves being around the horses and loves the whole training and the competing and everything. She's proved with the ponies. You know, she's I've got to be careful what I say as she's standing next to me, but she's a girl that thrives on competition, you know. And so once it was clear, once she'd realized that eventing is probably the hardest horsey sport to compete in, and really it's as far as if you're making a living out of it, it's virtually impossible, thankfully she decided that race riding was the route that she wanted to go.
Well, Safi, what I'm interested in is, I know your experience of race riding is obviously limited to the last few weeks, but you've had a few rides now. You've obviously got to a very, very significant level as a pony eventer. How does the adrenaline rush differ riding in races?
I say it's that I The cross country adrenaline rush is probably pretty similar, but nothing really compares to riding in a race. Everything happens so quickly in front of you. And I think my first ride, I think I didn't blink and it was over. But I think with more experience in the eventing, it happens a lot slower in my head. And I think through it a lot more than I obviously did to start with race riding. So it just happens a lot quicker.
And on a serious note, he won't take any credit, I'm sure, but how helpful has your dad been given his own experience as a jockey?
Oh, he's I'm not sure I could have done it without him. Well, I definitely couldn't have done it without him, but
correct.
he was so good to me. Like, he sent me away last year to Aidan O'Brien, and then...
No, hang on a minute, Nick. No, I didn't send her away. She came back from school and said, "I'm done with A-levels. I'm not going back. I'm going to Ballydoyle." So I don't say I might have assisted in the gaining of that job, but I was being told that's what was going to happen. She was quite merrily in the lower sixth, going along nicely at Bradfield, and I thought, well, at least she'll have an education behind her. And little did I know that the upper sixth was going to be Ballydoyle and Kieran Maher.
Yeah, and I got a great stint in Australia thanks to Dad introducing me to Kieran, and Gay Waterhouse and Kieran and his whole team were great to me out there, and I learnt loads and got loads of experience.
It's a pretty amazing journey to have been on, for sure. But Jamie, I know that Safi could have, and you know that she could have gone on and done A-levels, done a degree pretty much anywhere. It's a big roll of the dice, isn't it?
Well, I just regret all those previous school fees, Nick, to be honest. If I'd known that this was the route she was going to go, Hungerford Comprehensive would have done. You know?
But don't you think jockeys are getting cleverer, though? Don't you think you need to be pretty bright nowadays?
I don't think there's ever been a highly successful jockey, be it on the flat or over jumps, who doesn't have a significant IQ. I don't think you can do it if you're stupid. And I think that's something that they might not have any education, but I think that's something that people probably underestimate. You can't be thick and be a top sportsman in this game, I don't think, because there's an awful lot of cerebral need. You know, there's a lot of computing, quick thinking that needs to be done. And I think, you know, without being disrespectful to anybody, I think if you're going to succeed at the top of this sport, you do need to be intelligent.
I'm glad you said that. I couldn't
agree. Not that intelligent, though.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're sufficiently intelligent to be making the journey today, Safi, to Yarmouth for a couple more rides, having one on Hot Scoop last night. So you've got a horse you were just beaten on the other day, haven't you? I backed at a very big price. Is that one going to go one better?
Well, hopefully. Yeah, she ran great at Chepstow, just getting beat by the favourite. But she should have come on really nicely for that run. And I've got a nice first time out 2-year-old for Dad as well, which we really like her.
And your first time out 2-year-old is Olivia Mary in the 5:30, and Jamie, you've got a couple in that. That's quite a big endorsement, though, isn't it, to put an inexperienced apprentice on a first time out 2-year-old so early in a career?
Well, Safi's riding a lot of the work here. Her and Nicola ride most of the 2-year-olds in their work. And look, if you can ride, you can ride. Yeah, you've got to be aware with a 2-year-old to expect the unexpected. But you know, Safi lacks race riding experience, but I'd say she'll have sat on thousands of horses already in her life. And knowing these horses, I think, is an advantage. Nicola and her know them all. For me, that's not a concern. She rode a first time out 2-year-old for us last week. I think this one will be fine. I mean, she seems a fairly sensible filly at home. But even if she wasn't, I wouldn't worry about putting Safi on one first time out.
Good luck at Yarmouth, Safi. Well done at Windsor. Fantastic to see the career taking off in such great style. Not that any of us really doubted it. Thanks both of you for chatting to
Thank
me.
Thank you very much, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Jamie and Safi Osborne, who will no doubt be the subject of much more media attention over the coming months. Cornelius, just leaves you to join our roster of regular winners here on this podcast.
Yeah, just a quick footnote to Jamie there. I've heard him talking about that success quite a lot over the last 24 hours or so, and he was glowing with pride, and I was really, really chuffed for the entire family that had gone so well. Well, I heard Emma Banks on the pod yesterday, very excited about Lady Beaufort, who'd been successful at Ascot at the weekend, and I think she's got a runner today at Yarmouth called Michael's Choice that is sure to go well. But I think I'm going to stick to Goodwood in terms of my thoughts. And we've got the Vintage Stakes at 2:15 today. Now, Battleground will be no doubt all the rage, but I just wonder about the value of the form from Royal Ascot. And there is a horse in that race who I thought was very luckless. I always think there's a difference between unlucky and being luckless. I think he was more luckless than unlucky, called King Zane, when he ran at Newmarket the other day. He got a bump and then he got impeded. Never really got into the race. He's trained by Mark Johnston, ridden by Frankie Dettori. There's a heady combo, especially at Goodwood. And so King Zane running in the 2:15 at Goodwood will be my big hope for this afternoon. I will cross everything because I haven't had much success with going for horses on your podcast thus far. And I enjoy joining you, so I don't want to be sacked for being useless.
Very little chance of that. I know when I'm onto a good thing. If you have enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to rate us, review us, and subscribe. You can do so on Spotify, SoundCloud, Google, and iTunes. Enjoy the first day of Glorious Goodwood. We will be right back to do it all again 24 hours from now. But for the moment, bye-bye and have a great day. You've been listening to Nick Luck Daily, brought to you in association with Fitzdares, the Racehorse Owners Association, and Thoroughbred Racing Commentary.